All right. Well, good morning once again. Let's continue our studies in the book of Ruth, shall we? We left off last week in the book of Ruth. We read up to the end of chapter 1. And what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at that last verse in chapter 1, verse 22. Rather than continuing on into chapter 2 and introducing Boaz, I want to hold off on that until I return next week, Lord willing. Our brother Mike will be bringing Bible study. Verse 22 of chapter 1, in Ruth. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the county, the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That's what I'd like to look at this morning. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And we're going to look at 4 points. And the first point I want to look at this morning is the journey. We spoke about this a little bit in Friday night's Bible study, and our brother Russ asked me afterwards, he says, you think Naomi maybe spoke a little bit about who her God was to her daughter-in-law, Ruth? Well, let's look over at verse 16 here for a second. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from the following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Obviously, Ruth did talk to her a little bit about it. Obviously, she spoke a little bit about who her God was. But it's not maybe not just spoke about it. What about lived a little bit like it? God's people, when God moves in and takes over, we can't help. It's like the scripture talks about those who have a light. They don't hide it under the bed. No, they bring it out and light up the room with it. I gave Russ an example of what I'm talking about here as far as acting. I'm not necessarily talking about witnessing. You know, grabbing somebody and saying, okay, let me tell you about my Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way we go about our lives. For instance, Kathy and I were in Canada at one time on a motorcycle trip before the Lord called her out of darkness. And I've shared this with some of you before. And we were looking at, we had stopped and we were looking at the glory of a cliff that was maybe 300 feet tall. And then on top of that, there was another 200 feet of solid ice. It's called the ice fields of Canada. And it's just absolutely breathtaking. I mean, it's like the first time you saw, if you've ever been down here to Yosemite and you've seen the El Capitan or the other big rock they have there. You know, it just takes your breath away. And it just came out. Wow. Look what God has made. And Kathy had no understanding of what I was saying. In fact, it actually offended her. But yet she knew by what I said, just a part of who my God is right there. Look at what my God has created. He's created everything. Everything there is. The clouds that we look at, are they not a portrait that our God is painting as it goes by? Our God rules everything. And as we go through our lives, we cannot help but talk about our God or act in some way that gives Him the credit for what He does and for what and who He is. And those around us, especially those who live in our own house, Kathy's sister for an example. I've had the honor of talking a little bit about God and who He is, but it's always been I'm giving Him credit for this or credit for that, because that's who deserves the credit for everything. Everything is by my Lord's hand. So when for instance, I've shared with her, you know, all the times that my mother had asked me to go to church, and it wasn't until the Lord called me out of darkness that I actually heard the gospel preached. And I had shared that with Sue, and that stuck to her. I don't know how the Lord's going to use that, but obviously that part, she knows who my God is. He will come to her in the time of his power and call her out of the darkness. She got that part. So it's not necessarily going out and standing on a street corner or grabbing somebody that's going by and witnessing. You know, let me tell you about who Jesus is. It's about the way I live. It's about the way I act when I'm around other people. We witness to God even when we don't, or we witness about who our God is even when we don't know it. And I believe that the journey, the 10 years that Ruth spent with her mother-in-law, Naomi, she saw who Naomi's God was. There's going to be some breaks a little bit here and there, so you guys will forgive me for this. I'm kind of trying to recall my notes off the top of my head. My computer crashed on me this morning. So they, speaking of Ruth and Naomi, came to Bethlehem, and that'll be the my next point, Bethlehem, the city of bread. They came to the city of bread. God draws his people to the city of bread. God drew us into this church this morning. Even those of us who know who he is. He drew us out of the world that is around us and brought us here this morning. The same way he's been doing ever since he brought us into this church the first time to hear the gospel preached. It is our Lord who draws us to the city of bread. Well, what is this city of bread? Turn over to the 6th chapter of John. And while you're turning there, allow me to read some very familiar scripture in Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Blessed. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How can you hear about Christ unless he draws you to the house of bread? How can you be filled? How can your hunger be satisfied? John chapter 6. Look at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not. Not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Our Lord is talking to a group of people who saw the miracles of the feeding of 5,000 on the hill. They had followed him across the ocean or the sea because they had seen him, obviously, because they had seen him do this miracle of the food, and because it had filled their bodies, their bellies, and they wanted more. They wanted more food. They were hungry. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Continuing in verse 28, then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Remember, it is God who makes us to differ. We water. We plant the seeds. We water the seed. But it is God who giveth the increase. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. We didn't come into this church. We didn't come before the gospel thinking, oh, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go over there and hear it there. God drew us. We had dead hearts. Our hearts were as stone. That heart had to be changed. We had to experience the new birth. Oh, praise the Lord that he did not leave us in our dead state. Daryl read this morning from Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, and you hath he given life to, and you hath he given life to. We've all We were all dead in trespasses and sin. Just as Pastor Gene said, we fight that sin today. Our bodies are dead. We're not going to take this body of sin with us into heaven. Verse 30, and they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But now get a load of this. Catch the gospel coming, folks, because then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the house of bread. This is the house that God brings all of his people to. This is the house of bread that feeds the soul, not the belly. Not the belly as it did in that 5,000, but the bread of the soul. I am the bread of life, continuing in verse 35. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. How are you going to believe on him if you've never heard of him? How are you going to believe on the one who is God in the flesh if you've never heard of who Christ Jesus is? How are you going to believe on the one who saved his people if you haven't heard how he went to the cross and died for your sins? How he took your sins into the grave with him when he went there and he left them there behind? We sang the song, He Arose. He arose, victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. How are you going to believe if you have never heard? You're not going to hear that from a lot of churches. Most churches today will preach the word that Jesus has done all that, yes, but now you must do something. You must make a decision for him. That's, Scripture calls it dung. You don't know what that means, you need to go ask your parents. But that's what it is. It's not truth. The truth is, as God says, it is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. He has done it all. He has paid it all. Verse 37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Did anybody miss that? Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. That's God's word. God's word says there is an elect. God's word says there is a people that I have chosen before the foundation of the world. God's word says the names of all of his people are inscribed on the palms of his hand. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. The house of bread. Now look back at the first verse of John chapter 6. This house of bread is filled with a food. But it is a food for the poor in spirit. It is a food for a broken and contrite heart. You see, the Lord must bring each and every one of his people to the fact of knowing what they are. Exactly what our pastor spoke of there in the devotional. We are sin. We are full of sin. And until you see your condition before God, you will not be able to say, Lord, have mercy on me. God came to save the sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. The righteous don't need anything. And that's the way the churches of the day think. I'm righteous because look what I've done. I've gotten smart. I've done the smart thing. I've stopped doing the stupid things. And now I'm smarter and I'm following after that man called Jesus. But they're not following after him at all. They're following after themselves. When you say that your will can determine over God, his will, then you have made yourself to be a God over him, have you not? This bread, this house of bread is for the poor in spirit. It's for those who know that they're sinners. It's like the scripture gives us the example of the two men in the synagogue. There's that proud, I've made a decision for Christ, I'm going to follow him. I'm smart. Lord, thank you that I'm not like that guy over there who can't even raise his head. I'm not like him. I'm smarter. I'm holier, exactly. Yet there's this man who's standing over here in the corner, down on his knees, can't even lift his head up because he knows that he deserves nothing. There's nothing in me that's good. The Lord must have mercy on me or I will receive what I deserve. The bread, the house of bread that we're talking about, our Lord Jesus Christ, is for sinners. Are you a sinner? John chapter 6 verse 1, and these things Jesus went out, after these things Jesus went out to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that they may eat? Did you hear that? Christ just asked Philip a question, but I want you to really catch this next part. And this he said, speaking of Jesus, to prove him, for he, Jesus himself, knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He's sovereign God of everything, omnipotent, knows everything, every little speck. He knows what's going through your mind right this second. Your mind, even in your dreams, when you're sleeping and you think you don't even know what's going on, God knows what's going on. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. Remember in our text? Our subject this morning is, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Before I continue here in chapter 6, or 6 verse 1, before I continue with this, let me give you a little idea of what barley is. Quite honest with you, I used to think it was something that had to do with beer. No, really, I did. I thought that's what barley was for. I thought it was a hops or something. Well, it turns out barley is an oat. It's first spoken of in Genesis, where the Egyptians used it to feed their horses for their chariots. Now remember, the horses, the Egyptians, as far as the Egyptians are concerned, were way more important than the Israelites. The Israelites, they were dogs. They were our slaves. They did our command, but our horses, that was our power right there. The horses were fed better than what they gave the Israelites. Eventually, barley became Well, I've got more than I need for my horse here. I'll give some to the Israelites. I'll give some to my slaves. And that's how barley became the food of the poor people. I Googled that and I asked, you know, tell me about barley in biblical times. And it went about telling me all about barley and how it became the food for the poor. It's kind of like white rice and brown rice. Some of you may remember there was a study done many years back. They couldn't understand why the poor people were so much healthier in China than the rich people. And they found out why. It's because the rich people, they could afford that real pretty, real good flavored white rice. And those poor people, all they were eating was the chafe left over down below, the brown rice that never, you know, nobody else wanted it. Turns out the brown rice was more healthier for them. But just, it was kind of like that. Barley is the food for poor people. Our Lord used 5 loaves of barley loaf to feed 5,000. Our Lord Jesus Christ feeds all of his people with the bread of life. Satisfies, fills. We sing that song more about Jesus, don't we? Does that lay to anyone else's heart? I love that song. I love to hear more about Jesus. When I sit down and hear a man preaching about somebody's free will and making a decision, when I hear a man, as our brother Mike or Pastor Gene or Don Fortner or Todd Nybert or many others, preach about Christ, that's when I'm filled. How often have I told you this several times before? When I first started coming here, I asked Bill, hey, Bill, you want to go down and check this other church out? It's a little closer to our house. He would say, why? I'm fed right here at Rescue. I don't need to go anywhere else. Christ is preached here. And I'm not trying to say this is the only place in the world. We know that Don Fortner preaches Christ. So in Kentucky, there the Lord is preached there. There's many other places down in Texas, over in Marysville, up in the Oregon area. I'm not trying to say this is the only place, but there are very few who preach about Christ. Very few. And that's the only thing that fills the belly of God's people. Not the belly here, but the belly of the soul. I need to hear about who my Savior is. Because that sin that's in my flesh comes up all the time. I need to hear over and over and over again who it is that saved me. So that my confidence will be in Him and Him alone. And He allows me to fall into my own sin so that I can look up to Him and say, save me again, Lord. Save me again, Lord. Save me again. There is a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, and I'll try to wrap this up in a couple of seconds here. Remember what our subject is this morning. Our subject is, and they, Naomi and Ruth, came to Bethlehem, the house of bread, in the beginning of barley harvest. So we've looked at the journey there. We've looked at the city that they came to. We looked at what it was being harvested. And now I'd like to look at the harvest. Harvest is a picture of the resurrection of Christ. We go through a time of winter when everything is dead. Spring comes along, we go out, we plant the seed, we water it, and God gives the increase. Christ died. He went into that grave. Then he came out. All the saints before Christ died are saved the same way we are. But yet, they had to look forward to. You see, if Christ had not died, had not gone into it, you couldn't just do it on the promise. He had to actually die. He had to actually pay for the sins of his people. He had to actually take those sins, be made sin for us, and take them into the ground and leave them there. He came out perfect. White as snow, sitting on his throne today. Ever since that moment, the harvest time has been going along. I had it on the tablet, but I'm not able to bring it up. Let me see if I can recall it. No, I'm just going to let it be. I'm not even going to go there with that. Never mind. Okay, so Matthew 9, look at verses 37 and 38. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God sends his preachers out into the world, wherever. The Lord sent Pastor Gene right here to rescue California. He sent Brother Rick Warda over to Marysville. There was nobody there. Oh, how thankful we are to the Lord Jesus Christ for sending his men out. Blessed are your feet, Pastor. Blessed are your feet, Michael. God be with you as you stand before his people. Preach Christ. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear about my Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the Lord harvests his people. He brings you to the gospel being preached. He has a preacher preach the word of who he is. King of kings, Lord of lords. Ruling over everything, including your so-called will. Bringing you in the day of his power to his word, to hear his word preached. Our Lord, see, is the first fruit. He's the first fruit of the resurrection. Look over at verse 5 of chapter 10. And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter yet ye not. No, he would do that later with Paul, wouldn't he? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not the Israel of the flesh, it's the Israel of the heart. Go ye unto the lost sheep of Israel. Is there anyone here who was not lost at one time? Oh, if the Lord may have mercy upon you today, if you're still lost. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Our sister Naomi knew who her God was. She freely received, and she freely gave. That very information, Ruth heard it. God applied that to Ruth's heart. We saw how Oprah turned and went back to her people. Orpah. Ooh, my, what did I say? Orpah turned and went back to her people. Praise our Lord that the harvest is still here. Today is the day of salvation. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.